The Trump administration's aggressive immigration crackdown has arrived in New Orleans and Minneapolis as federal agents continue expanding their dragnet for undocumented immigrants. This follows a recent strike in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hundreds of Border Patrol officers descended on the city November 15th, arresting about 400 people in a week-long operation. The enforcement surge there appears to be over, but as NPR's Adrian Florido reports, Charlotte is still grappling with the fallout.
It's the end of the school day, and a yellow school bus pulls up outside an apartment complex in East Charlotte that is home mostly to immigrants. About 10 elementary school-aged children hop out. There are no parents to greet them, as there normally would be. The kids walk and run the rest of the way home alone. It's just one way that life looks different in Charlotte in the aftermath of the Border Patrol's operation here last month.
It's like a hurricane came through.
Stephanie Sneed is chair of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Board of Education.
We're still not quite sure if the storms are completely over. And then we have to deal with the aftermath, which is much longer than the events itself.
At the height of the operation last month, about 20% of the district's 141,000 students stayed home. Parents have started sending them back, but with precautions, Sneed says.
They had notes pinned on their backpack that says, "I am a citizen." I would never think that that's something that I would see.
The economic impact is also still visible everywhere. It's visible in the shuttered Mexican food truck owned by a woman who asked that we ID her by her first initial, E, because she's undocumented. E and her family were preparing meals in the food truck when, on November 14th, they saw on social media that a large Border Patrol convoy was driving toward Charlotte. They panicked.
Cuando nosotros vimos eso, en ese momento agarramos, cerramos la traila y dijimos no más.
We closed the truck and we said no more, E says. They rushed home and locked themselves in. The next morning, she watched on TV as federal agents started nabbing people off the streets and raiding construction sites. 3 weeks later, E still will not step outside her house. She doesn't believe the Border Patrol agents who swarmed the city are actually gone.
Pues ellos están esperando el momento que nosotros salgamos para que ellos nos casen como los gatos, el gato y el ratón.
They're waiting for us to go outside again, she says, so they can hunt us like a cat hunts a mouse. Charlotte has been one of the nation's fastest growing cities for more than two decades, in part because it became a banking center. Tom Hanchett is a Charlotte historian.
In the 90s, Bank of America built the tallest building on our skyline, and the story is they hired a steel-setting crew from Texas. And there were a lot of Hispanic people and a lot of Mexican natives standing up there on that steel looking down going, well, it's a pretty nice place. It's got a booming economy, and maybe we could try to make it here.
And they did make it here. Today, about a fifth of Charlotte's population is foreign-born. Many Latino immigrants here work in construction, hospitality, and own small businesses. Manolo Betancur is one small business owner. He's from Colombia. He's owned a popular Latino bakery here for 28 years. I meet him on the now-empty sidewalks of Central Avenue, usually bustling with foot traffic.
This avenue is always packed. All the time, you know, go to the laundry, go to the grocery stores, come to the restaurants.
On the morning the Border Patrol arrived, he was walking to his bakery with his U.S. passport in his pocket when an SUV stopped half a block ahead of him. What he saw is seared in his mind. Agents jumped out, tackled three men who looked Latino, zip-tied their wrists, and hauled them away.
And I just turned around and I saw a lot of people that were coming this way.
Like walking this way, families.
Yeah, walking this way, families. So I just turned around and I told them, they're here, and just go back to your house, and everybody started running.
He called his employees and told them to lock the bakery doors. Later that day, he announced online that he was closing Manolo's bakery.
I don't want for people to tell their kids, I'm going to go to the bakery to get your birthday cake, and then that kid never going to get her father back or her mother back.
Casey Crimmins runs Project 658, which provides services to immigrants in Charlotte, including medical care. When he saw Manolo Betancur on the news saying he was closing shop, his heart dropped.
When it's in Chicago, when it's in L.A., there's scrollable shorts. When it's Manolo, who I literally had just seen 4 days before, saying to a camera, I've never seen anything like this before. I have to shut down my shop. It just hits different.
He and others in the community sprung into action, alerting people about raids, helping kids get to school, delivering food to immigrants' homes. Crimmins says residents want to show that this is still a welcoming city, a reputation forged on hard-earned trust.
This brought a sense that all of that that was built up over decades got flushed down the toilet.
Yeah.
Two employees of a medical clinic his group oversees, Lindsay Velker and Mary Beth Stanford Picker, are out delivering medicine and food to an undocumented patient.
Estamos aquí afuera de su casa con sus medicamentos y la comida también.
The patient is an older woman from Honduras. Okay. She requested that we use only her first initial, R. The week Border Patrol was in town, she says, agents roaming her apartment complex knocked on her door two different times.
Como hay un hoyito, ahí se ve. Entonces yo vi que habían dos.
She recognized their beige uniforms through the peephole. She stayed quiet and they left, but she is still struggling to sleep. R cares for children while their parents are at work. Her income plummeted when people stopped bringing their kids. Today, she's only caring for two kids. She walks them to school, but she stopped using the sidewalk and started walking through the woods.
Hay un caminito, yo misma abrí con un machete el caminito. Unas ramas que habían ahí.
She cut a path through the brush with a machete. They won't find me in there, she says, with a nervous laughter. Daniela Andrade is with the Carolina Migrant Network, an advocacy group. She says Charlotte won't be back to normal until people feel safe again.
Because it's very hard to say, oh, they're gone and let's live, go back to normal life. It's really hard to, right now in these moments of crisis and fear in our community, to tell folks to trust.
Instead, she and other advocates have been telling people not to let their guards down. Adrian Florido, NPR News, Charlotte, North Carolina.